What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is this Gonna Cause an argument? My name is Angel Tanksley, also known as Angel Akita Moore, also known as That Chick Angel. And I am one of the hosts of this podcast that we've had going for, I think I said 5 years.
Five, six years. Something like it.
And I do it alongside.
Hold up. No, it's been longer than that.
No, the twins were like babies.
How long we been in this house?
4.
Going on 5? Yes. We were doing it for a good.
So almost 6. I forgot.
Almost 6 years, yeah.
Yes, the twins are now 6. Sorry.
Yeah.
But the voice that you hear correcting me is my best friend and husband for almost 14 years, the co-host of this podcast. Tell them who you are, baby.
I am Marcus Saint on the gram, also known as Marcus Tanks, also known as Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Off up in the building. This is our podcast. We used to do it bi-weekly. We've been doing it every single week for the past year and 3 months, almost 4 months.
We even did it, well, kind of, sort of, when my husband had the Rona.
Punk-ass Kobe got me, y'all.
He got him.
He said, what's happening, player?
But it got you at the time where we were able to do a compilation. I sat there and I looked at a bunch of episodes and was like, okay, which episodes can we tie together, do a compilation? And it worked out. So anyways, this is a show that you can count on every single Wednesday if you're just looking for something to cheer you up, make you laugh, make you think. Because we cover all things dealing with life. A lot of it is from the perspective of us being a black married couple, a Christian couple, a couple raising boys. So even if you don't have that perspective,
just a man or a woman,
you'll have a good time with us.
Absolutely. We talk about a little bit, like you said, a little bit of everything.
Now, we had a bunch of technical difficulties.
Yeah, at this point, we just tired. We started this at 8 o'clock. It's now 8:30.
We actually started this before 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we did.
Our goal was to go live by 8. And when I say live, I mean we have Patreon in the building. These are people that we call our immediate family. I lovingly call them my angel wings. Marcus lovingly calls them either his heifers or his tanks riders. But these are people who have chosen to support us by being members of our Patreon. And you too can become a member for the low low of $5 a month. That is 16 cents a day. You get exclusive content. You get to also watch this live. And I say watch and not just listen, because this is also live on YouTube. And then when it goes up on Wednesday, the visual also goes up on my YouTube channel, That Chick Angel TV, which is inches away from 100,000 subscribers. But anyways, we've been having this goddamn old technical difficulty with my very new, not even a year old desktop, but I'm sure it's got too much stuff on there. I probably need to just clean it. Where when we try to live stream it, it now glitches out,
it don't
loses
right.
sound.
It
and just, we
it quits. It gives up, walks out. Horrible employee.
Horrible employee. So we had to restart. But I was in the middle of telling a story before it glitched out the last time. Because I said, hold on.
Because
I
didn't want to hear your punk ass story.
No. We're going to tell this story.
Tell it.
So this episode, I decided, you know what? I want to train up my husband so he can start taking more responsibility for the podcast. While he is a willing participant as a host, there are some things that he is just doesn't know how to do to be able to do. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show you how to do it so that I can hopefully take some of these things off my plate. So we have like 3 sponsors today. We have Apostrophe, we have Best Fiends, and we have Every Plate.
What's happening, y'all?
And we appreciate them for sponsoring
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So we have to make sure we get the ads together for that. So I was showing him where to go on the website to get the ads, to find out what order they go in. I was showing him how to grab the link from the live and post it in our Patreon so our Patreon can join us.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of little things. Let me tell you what this man was doing every little second.
Don't act like I wasn't paying attention and listening and all of that.
I didn't say you weren't paying attention when I was saying, here is the thing you need to do. But if I wasn't saying that...
Multitasking.
Tell me what you were doing.
Shopping.
For dress shoes.
We got an event coming up Tuesday. I ain't gonna have time to go get no dress shoes. I need to find something right now. So I'm listening to that. I know how to go get the ads. I remember right now. Probably should have wrote down, but I didn't. I just do it next week. She can coach me through it.
Well, I got to show you again, though. Huh? Why am I have to?
All right, don't show me again. We'll be here till I get it up. She said, oh, I'm gonna know what I'm about to do. I'm gonna do this for them. And she was in the middle of doing that. I went back to look for shoe because at this point I'm like, all right, you do that, and then we're gonna go live. And you looked at me, was like, oh, was that? I'm like, what you want me to do? You could type this in my phone. She was in her phone typing at the time.
Because what I decided to do was I was like, oh, you know something that will make us more efficient. We have five moderators that help us with our Patreon and Discord. And they're also moderators on my YouTube channel. And they are able to write down the codes, the promo codes, the sponsor codes, so that when people, especially in our Patreon, hear about it, if they want to like check out the sponsor, they can just see it in the live chat. So I was like, I'm actually going to send that to them ahead of time because I never do it. They find out what everybody else does.
Send it to them ahead of time. So she's doing it. I'm like, went back to shopping.
I'm thinking that you're going to watch. And well, this is what I would love for you to do. When you see me doing stuff, when it comes to this.
It's hot.
Is it hot? I'm sorry. When you see me doing stuff, when it comes to this podcast, if you have never seen me do it or don't know what I'm doing, I would love for you to ask.
Perfect. Closed mouth don't get fed. You open your damn mouth and something gets shoved in it.
Okay. You open your mouth a lot. I'm going to start shoving stuff.
She didn't say that. She said, hey, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do this, though. Yeah, to beat them up. Oh, really? Oh, you could be putting this in my phone. You didn't say that.
No, I didn't say
that. She said, let's talk about it. Talk about it.
Is that how I said it?
You make it asymmetrical so you can go on and be a distraction.
You the one that said you were going to shape it.
Because I couldn't without the band. I need a band on it.
And I
can't say too much about it. You'd be like, you don't appreciate my hair. I do appreciate it. I said it looks fine where it is. It is a little distracting because this side is lower than that side.
For those of you all who are not watching, my fro is out right now, and I have not worn my fro out like as a hairstyle. It's a little too aggressive, just FYI.
Oh, my bad.
My fro is out.
It's some type form of hair flow. It's either the lashes, the fro today.
Oh, you really gonna just try to clown like that?
No, I'm not gonna clown. I just wanna get something going.
Well, I told you, you said that you were gonna do it. Y'all, why is he taking a tape measurement to try to create a headband?
Man shit.
On my hair.
That is. Give me a second.
And this is the thing. He said, you know what I would love is if you would wear a headband on your hair.
More often.
More often. No. You said what you should do. No, you said what you should do is wear.
That's not what I said.
You said, why don't you? Why don't
more
you have
often?
And I said, Marcus. I had on a headband yesterday. And what'd you say?
I said, yes, you did. I said more often, though.
Oh, my God. Did that help?
Because it ain't the right thing. And I don't want to get your hair tangled.
Do y'all understand what this man is doing? He is using a tape measure to tie back my hair.
Look, you gotta use what you got at the moment, all right? MacGyver, 80s.
This is why the Crown Act exists. Because.
I'm just trying to make. See, we need to.
I wish. Hold on. Y'all can see him.
That ain't gonna work.
That's either. What we should do with Patreon.
What?
Is you style my natural hair.
Your hair would be flawless.
Okay.
Wet.
Okay.
Killing them.
Patreon,
tight.
Let
off
us
the
know.
Hook.
Patreon, let us know if you
killing
want Marcus
it.
To style.
What's another term?
Tronda. You remember that one?
Tronda. What's another one?
Fonda. Oh, okay. So.
Owlette. I don't know.
Anyway, we digress.
Hard body.
Long story short, he needs to be a better student.
You need to be a better teacher.
I am a great teacher.
No, you're not. So you think your student's not learning. Something's wrong with your method.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Let it be one of your kids. No, the teacher needs to.
No. Like you said, you got to start taking notes. Marcus don't be taking notes. I'll be having to show him. He be editing. And let me tell you, my baby's gotten better and better at editing. I'll give you that. Okay? Proud of you. But when I tell you.
But.
My
husband, what would y'all say? It's age. But. No, but.
No, but I'm not gonna say no. I'm just saying you could take notes. He'll ask me, saying, now how I do the cut of the thing? How does... Anyways, we usually start this episode off with either one of two segments. They are In My Feelings or Tanksley Pride.
Yeah.
You want me to choose this week?
Yeah, you can choose this week.
Okay, why are you picking with me? Why are you picking with me?
Go ahead, choose.
This week we will do Tanksley Pride stories.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm like, we only got two. You want to add a different segment?
Nah, we are going to add a different segment.
We are.
Not no time soon, but go ahead. Actually, yeah, we can add a different segment.
What you thinking?
I don't know. Go ahead, what you Tanksley Pride, girl? Stay on topic.
I am.
Teacher can't even stay on subject. How's she going to keep her students on subject?
Stupid. Tanksley Pride story. Kai.
Yeah.
I wish I had it right here in my hands for you all to see in person, those of you all that are watching. But I will put it up on my Instagram that you can follow me at That Chick Angel on Instagram. I saw a drawing on the floor because my kids have no type of understanding that papers shouldn't just be on the floor. I saw a drawing and it is clear as day that this is a drawing of a flamingo. Talking about beak.
Not just a flamingo bending over with his leg up drinking water.
That is what it is doing. And I don't mean abstract. I mean a literal, obviously not realism in the fact of you seeing shades and stuff. But it's
you
not,
saw yellow legs, yellow beak, black face.
No one yellow was, he outlined it in green, but it was a pink body.
Yeah, pink body. It was yellow. Going to big yellow?
No, he did it in the same as the outline. But he did it the right...
The shape of the flamingo's beak. You know how it's long and then curves at the tip? All of that. Detail.
I was like, I saw it on the floor and I said, who drew this? Because the fact of the matter
is... Bushy eggs sound like somebody was in trouble.
Well, because
it's like they almost drew a middle finger.
The fact of the matter is that it didn't matter which child drew it.
No. Nah.
Whether it had been Marcus or Mar.
If I found that an angel drew it, I would have been like, who did this?
Exactly. I said, who drew this? Kai, I did. And I said, did you trace something? He was like, no. And I said, well, where did you see this flamingo from? He was like, our teacher showed us the flamingo. I was like, oh, okay. And then little Marcus came around the corner.
Yeah, the teacher showed us a flamingo and we were supposed to draw one.
Yeah. So little Marcus comes around the corner and he said, oh, yeah, I remember that because Sai saw it and asked if I helped Kai with it. And I told him no. Y'all.
Yeah, because Sai's over there like, hold up.
Right? This is...
Now, hold up.
This is not
we
real.
Came from the same place at the same time. Why is he doing it?
And I have mentioned before that I have thought my child Kai has artistic ability. But most of his stuff has been a little more abstract, except for his drawing of his... There's another drawing that he did of himself with a backpack on. This boy is good. Like,
yeah.
It's so strange to me because, like, it feels almost prodigy-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, my kids, I feel like are talented in different ways. Every single last one of them. I feel like Marcus, when he's focused, he's really good at math. Sai, he learned his letters without any of my help.
Sai learns fast.
He learns very fast.
He picks up on stuff. So he was doing sign language today.
Right. Doing sign language. Sai can actually like read. And it has not been because of us. Okay.
We tried.
The baby can count. We didn't teach him that. He learned that on his own.
Yeah.
So I feel like they all have their own talents. But Kai's talent with drawing truly feels prodigal-like because he's about to be better than everyone in this house. Like, from daddy on down to the dogs. So it's so weird because I never want to be, even though I don't mind being a Matthew Knowles or what's Michael Jackson's daddy's name? Is he dead?
Michael Jackson's daddy? Joe?
Joe? Is he dead?
Bruh. The fact that you got to ask him.
He probably did.
He probably did. Think about it. Michael Jackson was 50-something when he died. That was, how many years ago was that?
Same year as Marcus being born, 11 years.
11 years ago. So he's 61. His daddy got to be dead. Did. Yeah.
So while I don't mind being one of them parents as far as in seeing just a drop of talent and pushing them on, I don't like to be that parent that's like trying to make up talent, make a talent seem like it's at a higher level than what it actually is. Right. I like to be real realistic about it. This one is blowing my mind just a little bit where I'm just like, no, like low key, what the hell is going on here? Because this is something different. We will continue talking about that after we tell you about our first sponsor, Apostrophe. Let me tell you why I actually really love this sponsor. Is because as a Black woman and as Black people, we really pride ourselves in our skin. We pride ourselves in our melanin. We pride ourselves in our glow. All of that because it is important to us. You know what I'm saying? Something that we receive so much ridicule about, we're now at a place where we are praising how our skin looks, how it feels. So when our skin is doing things that we don't want it to do, it causes just a little bit more like strife and stress. You know what I'm saying? So being able to get professional, prescriptive skincare, medication, and treatment, I feel like it's pertinent for us because ain't nobody about to steal our shine, okay? Nothing's going to steal our shine. Well, Apostrophe makes it easy for you to get acne treatment that really works from a doctor and actually get the treatment without having to go to a pharmacy. So this is how it works. You're able to get on Apostrophe, and then you fill out an online quiz about your skin concerns and medical history. Then you snap just like a couple of selfies and your dermatologist will get back to you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. So I just want to point out a couple of things. One, this is a board certified dermatologist. This ain't somebody's granny telling you just to put some baking soda on your face and clear it up.
That ain't some dude with a shop giving people's beating faces
right.
for a living.
This is a board certified dermatologist that is giving you what works for you. People ask me all the time what I use, and while I don't mind telling people like little things that I use at home, I know my skin is very particular to me, right? So I don't like to really like tell people, oh, use this because this will work, because my skin is more than likely going to be different than your skin. So that's what makes Apostrophe really amazing, is that it's tailored to you, not anybody else, but your skin. And it's also tailored to which you want to work on. So I don't get acne that often, but when I do, I get hyperpigmentation. Those are the dark spots that, I mean, don't nobody want, because then you be having to pile on concealer if you feel any type of self-consciousness about it. You can't just let your face have like a free, I'm just going to glow all natural day, because you're trying to cover up the scarring but of the hyperpigmentation. Well, Apostrophe can help you with that. It can help you if you're having just acne problems in general, if you're having breakouts. Anything that your skincare goals are, whether it be improving the texture of your skin, because I know sometimes you'd be like, now why my face over here got all different types of things going on? I want smooth skin. Apostrophe can help. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to get $15 off your first visit with a board certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And use our code is this.
Is this.
This code is only available to our listeners, all right? To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And click begin visit, then use the code is this.
Is this.
At sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com/isthis.
Is this.
And use the code is this.
Is this.
To get your dermatology visit for $15 off. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast.
Thank you, Apostrophe. We greatly appreciate it.
So, yes, I really am blown away by Kai in his artistry. And I can't wait to find out if that I'm sorry. I'm just realizing something that my moderators put in the comments, and I'm gonna whoop her once once we get finished doing this podcast. But do you think I'm losing my mind? Doesn't it feel a little bit prodigy like how well he's drawing?
Absolutely. Like when I was good at drawing, I don't do it anymore. The only reason I got good at drawing is because I liked what I saw with my I had two friends. They were extremely good at drawing, but they had a natural gift for like art. Like, didn't take any classes. They would just doodle all the time and got really good. And I'd ask them like, "How did you get so good at that?" Just like, "I've always liked doing it. And I got good at it." I started doing the same thing, and that's how I got good at drawing. Then I stopped. Now I can't draw that well at all. Probably if I put my mind to it, I could probably get back into it. But for him to get it, have such a natural ability at such a young age is phenomenal. Like it's. I haven't seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff that I see, usually kids is like, okay, you so genius, you might be a little off. Like, because I have seen kids draw stuff, I'm just like, how did your mind come up with that? You haven't even seen some of this stuff before. Mm-hmm. But him, like, the stuff, like, the fact that he showed her that pic, the first time we saw something like this is he drew himself. It was literally like himself, looked like he was took a selfie with the camera almost. Like, he was really big in the picture, and we saw that he knew how to draw depth perception.
Yeah.
Because usually kids, when they draw the sun in the sky, it's usually like up in the one of the top corners, top left or right corner. But he drew himself really, really big.
Yeah.
And then he drew a bird and something behind him, and then the sun was really small in the sky. And I'm like, he understands the how to draw depth perception. And this was at the age, he was like 4.5 when he did it. He was five. He was like early five. He was at early 5 years old when he did this. And that's they ain't taking no art classes for somebody to tell them that.
Yeah, I just
one of my things when I think I was definitely older than him when I was doing. I used to draw do the thing of like it looks like you're on a long endless road. Uh-huh. And I figured out how to draw stuff to make it look like it was upright, you know, and then like the stuff off it. But I was much older than him when I was doing it.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy. Do you have your own Tank Sleep Ride story?
I feel like we kind of touched on that.
I brought that up.
You did?
What's your own, though? That's what I want to know. Yeah. What is it?
Get on my last nerve.
I'm sure I do.
Kai. His amazing ability to draw. I ain't got one off the top. These my boys, man, they off the hook. Hello, they all got a special place in my heart.
Don't you give them no vague stuff. Yeah. Tell them about the baby and how he's
Amar been... gets on my last nerve.
No, not that. What he's been doing here lately.
Oh, Amar will if whether I'm around or not, he's either talking about me or talking to me.
Yes.
Die, and sometimes I think he's yelling for me, cause he'd just be like, die. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what, boy? And then he'll be talking off in the distance, but he's
he is all about saying daddy.
Daddy, like that's his thing.
Daggy. It's hilarious, and I'm like, okay, he is really into his dad right now. I'm not mad about it. Now, he's still on my boobs all the time, but he's been talking to Marcus here a lot lately.
Yeah, he has. Nonstop.
And Marcus has been like, what? I think it's from you working the other shift.
Oh, working the swing shift? Uh-huh. I bet he's seen me a lot more.
Yeah, he's seen you a lot more during his more active part of the day.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, let's talk about this then. What you been up to?
Like, I hear him, day. He'll just be on top of something dangerously high. I walk in the room, boy, what are you doing? Samuel Jackson.
Sound like you're saying Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Okay, so... next time, you're going to have a specific Tank Sleep Ride story, don't you?
I just told you one.
I told you that one, and then you used it.
Don't tell me what I'm going to do.
Oh, you're going to do it.
Don't tell me what I'm going to do.
Huh. He going to do it. So, the fact that I still have a a measuring tape holding back my afro
is dope.
Is killing me softly. Anyways.
It needs to be wider, you know, because then it can do this whole thing.
I know what you're thinking. I know.
Maybe if I pull it back further. Hold on.
Oh my gosh. That's what it needs. In my hair, you guys.
Keep talking.
So we have a topic today that I thought would be interesting. Obviously, we have listeners of all different ethnicities and ages, but majority of our podcast listeners are Black, just like me and Marcus. And there is something that I feel like, I don't know if it exists in other cultures, but I feel like, do you think is this the thing that we're about to talk about exists in other cultures, or is it just us? It feels like it's just us.
It feels like it's just us.
I obviously don't know other cultures that intimately.
I will say, well, we'll talk about it, and then I'll say where else I've seen it.
Okay. So there seems to be, and I'm going to call it toxic. I'm just going to call it what I feel like it is. This toxic belief and behavior that I've seen only in the Black community, where we glorify the struggle.
Yeah.
I was telling Marcus, I remember when I was growing up. Now, mind you, my family has seen feast and famine multiple times. Like, it's like a merry-go-round that we're on. So there have been times in my growing up life where my mother, who mostly was a single mom, we were in a feast state where there was a nice amount of income coming in. We were living in big houses. It wasn't that we had a lot of, it didn't feel like to me there was a lot of disposable income because my clothes still were like Walmart bought. But like from the outside in, it seemed as though we were in a feast state. And children my age would try to roast me or talk about me with the thought of, oh, she don't know because she rich. She don't know nothing about this because she rich. She don't know, you know, as if it were a bad thing for me not to be a quote unquote struggling at the time. And I remember this in particular. I used to talk extremely proper. Even though I grew up, started off in Baltimore, then we got to North Carolina.
Where they barely speak English.
We got to North Carolina, then Kentucky. My speech became really proper. And what I mean by proper is what's considered grammatically correct for American English. And I remember getting picked on for that, being called, saying, like, Angel talks white.
Yeah.
And I remember purposefully changing the way I talked to the point it then became, this was around middle schoolish age, to the point that when I got to high school and realized this is kind of stupid, that I was struggling trying to get back to grammatically correct. I was struggling in my head of, wait a minute, am I using the tense the right? Am I conjugating? Is it conjugated? Conjugating. Am I conjugating this verb correctly? Am I saying it right? Because I had changed how I spoke so much so that I could kind of fit in, and then realize that, well, this is not benefiting me at all. Like, how am I supposed to, if I'm especially writing, like, am I writing in the right grammar? But a part of that was because it felt as though that was the only way that I could avoid getting picked on or avoid being singled out in a negative way.
Yeah. I see how, like, and I could see kids, because kids, that could be easily seen as like a self-defense mechanism. It's like, even if you're self-conscious about, you know, your home when you go home, when you come to school, if people know where you live, if they know that your family's not doing as well, it's like, oh, I'm just going to pick on the people that seem like they got more.
Yeah.
However, as grown people, it's still done. It's like, I mean, granted, we were all joking. We were on Bottle and Beautiful one time, and Angel, Melissa, and Kevin were saying something about, you know, how they couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And I was just like, I can't really speak to that, you know, because I had to pay full price for lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents was, you know, I always did pretty well.
Listen, I had to pay full price for lunch too. We didn't get free lunch.
Yeah, no, but I said they were just like, you don't understand. Yeah, yeah, rich boy. And I was like, it ain't my fault. Now I can say this as a grown man, but I was like, it ain't my fault because y'all was broke. But like, thing is, I've gotten into fights doing that at school because elementary school, middle school, people knew, like, you know, everybody around the school bus, they see when they picked me up the neighborhood that we lived in. Mm-hmm. And they just all rode, a lot of them rode, you know, out of the hoods sometimes. And then they came to my neighborhood, and I got on the bus with a few other people. They're like, oh, yeah, you think he better than that. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't even know what y'all mean by that. We just moved out of the neighborhood down the street from you. We finally, like, were able to move out. I never will forget that we was on a field trip. You know, elementary school, the parents used to come on the field trips, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember, I can't remember whose parent it was, but it was 2 miles. They were sitting there talking. I don't know. They were talking about some grown-up stuff. And they were saying something about where who lived or whatever. And somebody said, and me, one of my friends were talking, they was like, Marcus, where do you live? I was like, I told the person that I was talking to the neighborhood we just moved to. And I remember one of the moms was like, boy, you lying. Y'all don't live over there.
The mama.
I was like, yeah, we do. And then, probably, it had to be that same year, I remember one of the teachers asking, because I had to text some stuff in because our address changed. And then, and I didn't know it at the time, but my daddy was so proud of me, he told me. The teacher was like, did you all, she was like, oh, so you all sold your house? I was like, no. She was like, but how did your parents get another house and without selling the first one? I said, because they can afford to. I didn't know. I was like, I don't know if they can afford to. So I went home. I remember it was like a week or so later. I told my dad. She was like, yeah. The teacher asked me, you know, how was we able to do this? And I said, because they can afford to. He said, I'm proud of you. I'm real proud of you for telling.
He went flex on them at the school. I appreciate you.
But it's like, I remember,
hold your thought.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and tell them about some Every Plate.
Every Plate. Actually, you guys, I plan on, we've used Every Plate before. I plan on actually placing an order right after this podcast. So, y'all go on ahead and do the same, too. Every Plate is America's best, I want to say, most economic in its, America's best value meal kit, okay? Because you're pretty much getting a meal for $1.99, okay? Like, you ain't gonna get that nowhere. You can't get that in no fast food place. And then if you can, no telling what you're putting in your body. But Every Plate makes dinner time so easy and so inexpensive, yet so healthy. Yeah. You get meals you enjoy, and your bank account will love you right to your door, contact free. Think about it this way: one meal from Every Plate is the same price as one cup of coffee. Lord, help me! That is so inexpensive. Every Plate dinners are less expensive and more fulfilling alternative to takeout or delivery. More bang for your buck. Let me tell y'all how much we spend in delivery per day. We're spending at least $100. If not more, per day. And let me tell you why we are hemorrhaging money from takeout. Because I, being as busy as I am with all of these podcasts, with all of these shows, with all of this social media, with my husband having to have a almost 3-hour commute daily. No, not almost. At least 3-hour commute every day to go to work and work 8 hours, then come home.
At least 8 hours.
So he's gone for a minute. We just don't have the time nor the brain bandwidth to come up with a meal and or also go grocery shopping.
And or also all of it.
To go grocery shopping to get the ingredients for some recipe that I don't even know that I'm about to cook. Okay?
By the time you chop for them, you are not going to cook them.
I know. I'll be like, oh, I don't feel like it. Every Plate makes it so that all of those things are cut out of the equation. Spending a lot of money is cut out of the equation. Having the bandwidth to figure out what you're going to eat is cut out of the equation. Having to go to the grocery store to get the items that you need for the recipe, cut out of the equation. Even having to measure is cut out because Every Plate does almost all of the prep for you. Like, I can't explain to you how amazing this is.
Yeah, these meals are delicious.
And they are delicious. Every plate offers...
It's enough. Filling.
That too.
That's the biggest problem with me. I don't get full.
But he do off every plate. I do. Every plate offers a changing menu of 14 recipes per week featuring a range of flavors and ingredients so you never get bored. And every plate makes it easy and affordable to cook hearty, delicious, family-pleasing meals. What's also great is that they have variety for different diet types as well. I have made some foods that have tasted so good, and my kids have been like, Mama, why'd you cook this? I don't be telling them why. But I definitely love taking the credit. So this is what we want you to do, okay? Try every plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes by going to everyplate.com and entering the code
ARGUE199. ARGUE199.
Get started with every plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks by going to everyplate.com and entering the code
ARGUE199. ARGUE199.
I'm going to tell you one more time because I don't want y'all to forget, okay? You're going to go to everyplate.com and you're going to enter the code
ARGUE199. ARGUE199.
That way you're able to get meals for $1.99 plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks. That's up to $100 value. Come on, everybody. We thank Every Plate for sponsoring this podcast, and we hope that you check them out. So, please continue. Your teacher was asking.
I was far past that.
No.
I said she...
Oh, she asked the question.
She asked the question, and I told her, you know, because they could afford it. I was about to come around. I was about to have you do a smooth transition. I was like, because we pay full price for a lunch, which you also don't have to pay for.
I didn't know.
Hey, that was me. Wait a minute.
That'll be the next challenge from here on out, is that you segue me in.
I segue you in?
I'll still read the ad, because I know you don't enjoy reading the ad.
I don't really enjoy reading those ads.
But I will.
Sound like, what's his name? Christopher Reeves over here. Not Christopher Reeve.
What?
Stephen Hawking over here.
Oh, no. Even worse.
What? He had a robotic voice.
I know, but to make it a dig. It sounds like, if you're saying you don't want to sound like.
Because it says it's very monotone. It's, is that the word? Monotone. Just straight line. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, every plate. My every plate. That is definitely that crab in a barrel mentality of even when people are grown, it's like even Dave Chappelle talked about it. He was talking about, you know, when he hangs around rappers and stuff, he's hanging around Nas, and they talking about, yeah, man, it was rough growing up in the PJs. Even somebody like Dave Chappelle puts on that fake persona of, yeah, man, it was rough, instead of just saying, nah, my people actually had money. They actually did well off. And I think because people use it, when you overcome the, let's say, the poverty or whatever, or the level that you all grew up as, I guess it's a badge of honor to say, this is what I came from, versus starting at the Huxtables and not elevating to a higher point. Maybe that's what it is.
I do believe that there is a false narrative, but I think we've held on to this narrative because I think it might be too depressing otherwise. We've held on to this false narrative that there is a gift and a blessing in the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why I work so hard. That's part of the reason that I probably push my sons as much as I do, is that we almost recoil at the thought of something being easy.
Yeah.
Or something being given to us easy. That's the big thing. Like, you know, people say kids don't, you know, if they become rich, say, as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I need my kids to know what hard work feels like.
Yeah.
Because we see it as it builds character. And I'm not denying that character can be built. But we act as if that's the only way.
Right.
That character can be built.
Versus just keeping them sympathy, empathy, and respect.
Right. We believe that is only taught by humility. Going through the fire.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, you can teach these things, without you having to have dealt with a lot of adversity.
Point is, you don't want your kids to have to go through the same struggles you do. You want them to be more successful from building off the success that you were able to build. Not, no, you're going to start down there in the gutter. That's what I had to do. And look where you at. So put them on your shoulders and elevate them. That's why white people, that's how white people have been doing it for generations. That's why they born into wealth.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't the only reason. But a lot of them are born into wealth because they build something for their family to stand on.
Yeah. And
not all of them, but you know what I'm saying.
I definitely, and this is not to say that I'm just like, I'm on the other side of, there's no glorifying the struggle. Because, like I just said, I am hard on my kids, and I work myself. I work myself hard. I really, really do. A part of me has not cracked the code of what it looks like to reap the success that I want without working myself to the nubs. I watched this one. I've mentioned her several times. Most people know who she is. She's a beauty influencer named Jackie Aina. She just started another Instagram account called Lavishly Jackie that is all lifestyle, because most of her stuff used to be was beauty and makeup. But one of the things she put on her post was that she is not prescribing to working herself all day long.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I want to enjoy my life. And that does not mean that I work from sun up to sundown. That's just not what I'm about. And I do feel as though that is not a perspective that is taught to most black people.
Most black people are taught, you know, you got to work hard. You got to work hard. Harder you work. Work hard and save.
Yeah, listen, if even celebrities, somebody like Puff Daddy, I don't never, team, no sleep. I ain't sleeping. We look at somebody like, you know, my favorite, Beyonce. I love her and I'm in love with her partially because of how hard she works and because I see myself in her, but I see that same type of drive of just being willing to put in the hours to get past, to try to get past everyone else. You know what I'm saying?
Frightening and concerning in love
with her. Shut up. But then to see somebody else be like, no, I want to be successful, but I also don't want to be over here stressing myself out working every day. I was like,
Yeah.
What does that look like?
One of our friends sent me something that these guys were talking. They were entrepreneurs. Also, I just had this conversation with my cousin last week of people not having the mind concept of a lot of people, especially in the black community, think you should be working hard for your money, work hard for your money, instead of the concept of what money I do have, I'm going to make work hard for me.
Right.
And we don't have a lot of people that are taught that. I think I had that epiphany probably last year sometime. Mm-hmm. We're like, why not let my money work hard for me?
Yeah.
What does that look like? How do I do that? How do I transition into that state of mind and living my life that way?
Uh-huh.
And the same thing is these guys, they were talking, what my friend sent me. They were talking. It was these guys saying that, and he had a very good point of, anytime you have somebody who's working extremely hard, like the regular person, regular day, 9-to-5 person that works extremely hard, always works extremely hard. It never stops. They can have 3 jobs. He was like, think about it. You don't know anybody with 3 jobs that's wealthy.
Mm.
Anybody that has 3 jobs, they don't have time to build anything past that because they're always working. And I kind of came to that. Like, again, I'm rethinking how I'm moving. Me and Angel been talking about that whole thing, but this true is like everybody, we are, especially in the black community, that's what we're taught because we saw our parents do it, their parents saw their parents do it, and so on and so forth, and that's what was taught because that's how they know. Now we're in the age of technology, we're in the age of information, and it's time to revamp. Not to say that everybody's supposed to be an entrepreneur and everybody's supposed to own businesses. No, that's not everybody's goal. However, everybody does not need to be working their fingers, like Angel said, working their fingers to the bone.
Yeah. Now, this is the one thing that I do understand, is that sometimes to get to a more level playing field, there is a certain amount of blood, sweat, and tears that you do have to put into it, just because a lot of us are coming from a huge economic disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So there is like a, okay, I got to grind a little harder just to get, you know, whether it be because I went to college and I have all these student loans and I want to get that off my back. So I have to grind a little bit harder so that I can start to coast some. I do get that. So I'm not trying to discount that. That we, I can, you can just jump into the work field and be like, let me just chill.
Right.
I do understand that how most of us, the people of color, especially those who are not immigrants to America, those that are descendants of slaves specifically, not to say that I know the immigrant, like the walk of life of the immigrant, but
do
I do know that of a descendant of slave. There is a bit of like, okay, I have to sprint before I can start, you know, just doing a nice light jog. But I do think sometimes we don't know when we can stop sprinting. We feel like we have to keep sprinting in order for this race to have been worth it. And I think that is another side of the being in love with the struggle or glorifying the struggle. So it's not just, it's not just the hood folk that are just like, you don't know what it's like. Hey, old rich sounding white. There's a part of the being in love with the struggle of the whole team no sleep, team rise and grind, team get money every day. I think it's still part of the same world of there being all this glory in I worked harder than everybody else. And being a 40-year-old woman and seeing some of my girlfriends who don't work as hard as me, they work hard. They're just nowhere close to working as hard as I do. Reaping benefits as big as mine or bigger has really made me go.
You done seen some lavish vacations.
Has really made me go, what am I doing? What am I doing? And while those friends always give me flowers, Angel, I don't know how you do it. You do so much. Oh my God. Like, you, by the time I've gotten up, you've already lived a whole 2 days of my life already. Like, you've accomplished what I would have accomplished in 2 days in the first 4 hours. Oh, how do you do it?
That's learning behavior.
But listen, this is the thing. While the words are nice and I appreciate people recognizing how hard I work, I'd rather just have the money. I'd rather not get that compliment all the time. I'd rather have the money. I'd rather have the blessings from the work than all of the work that I do all of the time. We're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to jump into our last sponsor of the podcast.
I think it was time. I was waiting on 50.
No, we do it at 45.
See, I already knew what I was about to say.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
I was wound up and ready. I was like, I got a minute and a half. I'm about to, she ain't going to see it coming.
15:30, 45. So this next sponsor, I'm going to tell you what. I enjoy them thoroughly. And I am really going to be using them once I go on tour. This sponsor is Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a free to download casual mobile puzzle game. Okay. When you are ready to just download for the day and just relax and not have to think about the stresses of the world, turn to Best Fiends. When I tell you all, this thing just fits into your life so smoothly. It's not, you ain't over here trying to plug up things. You ain't got to get the television on and stuff. You just pick up your phone, honey, and start up the game. Now, Best Fiends is so amazing. It has over 1 million downloads. And when I tell you, you will be obsessed. It's sometimes hard for me to put it down. I love it when I'm flying or traveling and I just, you know, you're waiting at the tarmac or you're waiting at the gate. And it's not that you really want to be on your cell phone because you got all those loud announcements in the background. So you don't want to be in a phone call, but you also kind of want to be doing something. Best Fiends, be that game for me. I do believe I'm on level 100 or I'm right past level 100. And what's so fun is that while I love it as a grown adult, so do my kids. So it feels like a classic. That's what it feels like. It's like this will be a game that people will always remember. It has really fun characters in it, and you get to upgrade the characters as you level up And then you get to defeat each puzzle within a certain amount of moves. And I be telling you, a girl gets frustrated when I be down to those last two moves and I still got to accomplish like three more things. I don't be giving up. I'll be like, we're gonna try one more time. So here's what we want you to do. All right, women says, we want you to do this. We want you to download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store, or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiend. I'm telling you right now, I want you all to tell me what you think about it once you play it, because it is so fun, dear God. All right, and one day I'm going to challenge my husband, see if he can get through a puzzle faster than me. I doubt it. Point blank period. I doubt it. I'm sure I can beat him. Because this is just the way my mind works. All right. Again, that's Best Fiends. BESTFIENDS. Download it at the Apple App Store or Google Play. I wish you all could know how much I want to just punch my husband.
What?
Don't say what. Don't say what.
I didn't
what.
Miss it. What?
Go ahead. Continue.
Continue what?
The conversation. No. don't come over here saying argue. Continue the conversation or tell them what you're doing.
I'm shopping.
We're doing a whole show.
You act like I missed the cue or something.
You did. The cue is going in back into the episode.
All right, you said thank you, Best Fiends. You was talking.
Okay, then I just said go ahead. And you said, what did I miss?
But you made it sound like I missed something. You were talking. You okay. Stopped what you were saying.
I am now done. Please go ahead.
Who's a better hillman?
Please go ahead.
You finished what you were saying. You were talking about the struggle and everybody because I was going to bring in the get time to play games. Matter of fact, while you're playing games, boom. But you didn't let me get to that point because you went on because I didn't know the time was, I thought it was at 50.
That's clear now. Please add to the conversation is what I'm saying. Go ahead. I've been doing a lot of talking. I would love
to. That's because you like, you talk too much. So like I was saying, when she, took off and just kept going on and on and on. But like you have those people that, you know, like the Puff Daddies is like, you know, you rise and grind and, you know, no sleep. It's definitely an unhealthy mentality to have, or at least it can be. Because I've heard so many successful black people say it. It's like, if you sleep in more than 4 hours a night, or if you sleep in, you know, 8 hours a day, then you're never going to be successful. And it's like, there's definitely way, there's people getting tons of sleep, getting tons of rest, and enjoying their life and still able to be successful. Not to discount working hard. I have a work hard mentality. I definitely want my sons to have that, but I don't want it to be sacrificing their quality of life, their work-life balance. I want them to be able to make an income off of something that they love doing. Mm-hmm. Even if they're working hard at it, something that they absolutely love to do. And then even still, it's like when people see that, it's like, oh, well, you just having fun. It's like, yeah, yes, I am.
Did you said you got into fights because of.
Oh, yeah. When I was in middle school, elementary school and middle school, because there were people that would tease me or, you know, my family had money, but my family was not buying me Jordans. They were not buying me the latest Nikes. They weren't buying me the newest Reeboks. You know, I was getting the stuff, the cheapest knockoff Nikes that you could find, the Nike Airs, stuff like that. So I would get teased, you know, just for my shoe game or my clothes game. I'm just be like, yeah, but your family's broke. Well, they'd be like, oh yeah, we'll never see you in no Jordans. And the money that your family's spending on Jordans, they could be buying your lunch, but yours is free.
Marcus, why would you come so hard at
because
them?
You don't, hey, don't at
I'm
me.
I'm asking.
Because they would literally pick on me and drag me for my clothes game. I'm like, you're going to drag me, so I'm going to hit you where it hurt. I'm going to be factual about this. And that would cause fights. It's like, and I was quiet. I was a very quiet child. I didn't say a lot. And I was always quiet for one because I was always tall. So people, you know, it was like, you know, they just pick on me. Cause, mm-hmm. And I would very reluctantly strike back or fight back. I would always avoid conflict. So they took it as a weakness until we was actually brawling. And I'm over here knocking people in the eyes and stuff. But up until that point, it's just like, that's what it would push me to. It would be like, all right, it's building up. Okay, now I'm about to strike back. I seen your house. I seen what your family drives. I see how bad off they are. Granted, my parents, they didn't have brand new vehicles. Their vehicles was old. My daddy had a 1971 pickup truck, and he didn't get a brand new pickup truck until I was in high school. But when he bought it, they paid cash for it. My mama had a 86 Chrysler, Fifth Avenue.
Now, this is not to pick with you. What? Do you not think, I'm being honest with this question, mm-hmm. I'm honestly curious. Do you not feel like your blow about their family actually being broke was a heavier hit?
It was supposed to be. It wasn't going to be even. You going to pick on me for weeks and months at a time?
Oh, it would be a build up?
Oh, I just said it'd be a build up. They would like pick on me all the time. And finally, when I got mad enough,
you said I don't care
if you got an earring and your mom and your dad got gold teeth and all of this. It's like, I don't care.
I mean, I get it.
It was meant to be a tough blow. It's like, I, you know, a child only it was like I was getting bullied until I struck back. Mm-hmm. And then I would fall back and get bullied, and then I would strike back. It wasn't a back and forth. It was them bullying me and me finally putting my foot down.
I get it now.
That's usually where my fights came from. Just from me, you know, I never picked fight with anybody. I was usually picked on. And
Why do you think they picked on you? Do you think it was their own insecurities and you seemed like an easy target?
Yeah, like I said, I was quiet. I didn't say a lot. I was always tall, but I wasn't like, you know, out here wild or anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people would say stuff to me. I wouldn't say nothing back, or I'd just be like, you know, leave me alone, or oh, I can pick on him. He ain't going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, you back a cat into a corner, you back a dog into a corner, he going to pee on himself. You back a cat into a corner, he's going to lunge out at you.
You a cat?
in that aspect, yeah.
I can't believe it. See, for me, I just would be quiet.
Yeah, I was quiet until I wasn't quiet no more. I got short fuses on both sides of my family.
I know it. Bless my baby's heart. Bless my baby's heart.
I'm like, you want to light this fuse? All right. It's lit. But yeah, that's where the fights would come from, because it was like I said, maybe it was an insecure. I never talked about what my family had. For one, my family never showed it. Like, right. we moved over there in that neighborhood, and it was only five houses, and then surrounded by a bunch of empty farmland and acres because there wasn't no houses built yet. Mm-hmm. My family had the oldest vehicles in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They didn't ever lived above their means. So when they did get stuff, they did it big.
That me and Marcus, actually, when we were deciding this was going to be the topic, I was telling him, even though I know these people exist, in my circle of people that I was around, in the people that I was close to, I never experienced the reverse. I know that there are certain people, black, all the colors, all of them, that look down on people who are less fortunate, broke. Yeah.
We know people that started broke and now look down on people.
But growing up, I never experienced the reverse. I never experienced them. I had a lot of friends whose parents were doing very well. But when they would come over my house, there was never a thing of, oh, So while I do know those people exist, so I'm not trying to make it sound like,
oh yeah, they definitely out there,
you know, that those who were less fortunate or lower on the economic, you know, level, that they weren't experiencing some sort of like people talking down to them because they had less money. It definitely felt like a lot of anger coming from those that perceived that my family had a lot of money.
And it's them, it's their insecurities.
I'm sure. And not only with some of those neighborhoods, it was just rough. And so you end up taking that anger and putting it out on somebody that you feel like won't lash back out at you. Yeah. And I know that was the case. That was the case for me. I remember, so for my, so funny. I love it. People be getting so upset at things. I did the explain this, or you got some explaining to do with Kev and Tahir. And they were talking about one of my hairdos in one of my pictures. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, I was stunting because this is back when girls couldn't grow hair, right?
Yeah.
I was like, so I was stunting. I remember, I never thought that way about my hair, like, stunting on these hoes or nothing like that. But I remember girls used to pick on me so bad. That was one of the things. Oh, she thinks she cute just because she got long hair. She thinks she cute. And it would get me to the point of not lashing out because I wasn't about to fight these hood girls. But it caused me to start having resentment towards them. Like, just mad because you got an onytail. You don't even got enough hair for the pee.
And
you, that's all you got.
From you saying that, you can't understand why I don't like when people call me conceited.
Well, no, I don't get them. The thing is, if somebody says something great about my hair now or Angel loves her hair, I'm going to be like, yep.
I don't care now, but
you did.
I did when we first started dating.
And we were married.
I didn't even care. It was just when it would be annoying.
Regardless, I never said that to them, but it did get me. This more relates to you cutting at their throat with you broke.
He just fell off something.
I know. This is that. No, they just closed the door. Uh-huh. This parallels more to you saying to them, well, your parents are broke. I never said.
That's for sure going to cause a fight with somebody hood. That's why I got into fights.
I never said, well, you can't grow any hair because you burning it off with relaxers and your hairstylist is your blind granny. I didn't say that to them.
I didn't say that about nobody's blind granny.
I'm saying that would be the equivalent.
No, it wouldn't be. I just said y'all broke.
It would be the equivalent. I just never said it, is what I'm saying.
The reason I never feel bad is like, yeah, y'all walking in here with then the Jordans was like $150 shoes. Your parents got some reevaluating to do. That's what they got. They're sending their little rat child to school with all these expensive clothes, and they ain't keeping the lights on. That's a problem.
But no,
pick on me.
I no, but they used to pick on me, but I also didn't dress good, so they were able to throw rocks real easy at me. They were like, Angel is just an open target because she's out here with these Walmart clothes on, with her fresh roller wrap. Like, we've got an easy aim at her. But luckily, I think that might be why I developed thick skin. I was just like, well, I'll just be smart. I'll just be smarter than everybody. That's fine by me.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'm just going to make sure you know how I feel. Make you think about that when you go home and lay down at night.
And then roaches is crawling across you. But no, I definitely...
It was mean, man.
The thing is,
I lived in the same neighborhood as them like my entire life up until we moved. So you were just flashing
in their face.
No, I was
they
like...
They seen you just come outside all full
and
clean.
Not when I lived down the street. When I lived down the street, my house is better than yours. Actually, it's not. My street even looks better than y'all's.
You're terrible.
But I didn't say nothing. But we was all in the same neighborhood, so we met. Then when we moved, I was fighting before then, but even when we moved, it got even worse.
I do understand, though. Listen, this is not to put blame for me. Let me speak for myself. You can decide how you want to say it. This is not to put blame on those kids that picked on me. And from my perspective, that picked on you. Because a lot of that is them being subject to their environment and also not knowing how to process the feelings that they're actually having. And they're just lashing out the way they see other people lash out. So I don't even have any, like, qualms with those people. Because I realize now, looking back, like, especially now mental health is an important thing. These people are facing the trauma of poverty and of different violence that would happen in their neighborhoods and having to pretend like this is a normal life. So it's not. And I know you don't care. I can't tell because
they all right now. I'll tell them right to this day. Hey, you remember you pick on me?
They might be fine. But I do realize.
Not most of them are.
But I do realize that just because...
That was then. We all cool now.
It was normalized because that's what they saw everybody doing. That is not a life that any child should have to grow up in of not really understanding what is actually important. Like, come to school with clothes on because that's all you have to call your own and to flash versus, you know, having a different look at stability in your home and loving your home. Not to say everybody came from a broken home that was mean, because some kids just be mean because that's who they are. You know
what's crazy?
I never saw, all right, so we had these programs where, especially in the wintertime, maybe around Christmas, wintertime or Christmas time, they would take them and give them, like, coats, basically give them clothes, gifts and stuff. I don't know if they'd give them stuff to take home, but I remember every time they came back, you could tell the things that came from that program because they only had, like, a choice of, like, so many different type of jackets or coats and stuff. So you could see, but... I think it was like a well-known thing. We all knew what they were doing, I think, but they never got picked on. Like, nobody ever said, oh, you got this on, you got that on. It was only, like, the people, or not the people, like, I'm only taking my personal experience that I saw and experience of, like, me getting picked on, because it seemed like my family had money.
Yeah, they felt like you could take the blows because you had stuff to fall back on. These children get this free stuff. They already at the bottom.
Yeah, but as to your thing of you don't see it in the reverse, because that would be the reverse in that situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I don't. I do believe that while it does exist. I pick
on somebody that's doing better than me, but not somebody that's doing worse.
Right, because I do believe that's one thing that I hope that black people will always have, even as we become more and more successful. Is that we do have compassion for the fact that sometimes people just can't figure out how to get out of poverty. And it's not set up for it to be that easy to figure out. Education is what gives you the best access to getting out of poverty, but sometimes it's just hard for people to be able to get that access and to be able to figure it out. So I hope that we always have that compassion, especially for people of color that are in... have a huge economic disadvantage, because you know, some of us, we luckily were just dealt a better hand and were able to turn things around.
Absolutely.
And for some people, due to a bunch of circumstances, it's just not there for them. So I hope that never is the case, but I personally want to start making in this as we get ready to travel into the second, we're in the second quarter, get ready to travel into the third quarter, I want to start making a mental note and a goal and challenge myself to not praise the struggle, to not use the struggle as my reward, and to know that there is a blessing in the life that does not feel the need to work itself to just nothingness. I know that it's possible. I know that, I don't know. I know that I can do it, but I know it's also not easy. This is something that I have been thinking and doing for 40 years. So, but I want to, listen, there's still some things I need to work hard at before I'm done. But once I get there,
yeah, I was about to say it's people, like, we already do it. There's this huge push for you know, buy black, support black, and I think it is important that we help others. Like, everything that I do, I try to reach out, I try to find a black owned business, a black owned company of some sort to, you know, to patronize before just going out to some, you know, big company to do it. It is, a lot of times it's very difficult to do. Is it is a lot easier to just go to the nearest and closest thing. A lot of times businesses are smaller, so they want to charge a whole lot more because they got a bigger, and then on the other hand, I don't know why they be charging so much sometimes, smaller businesses anyway,
just because they don't have the inventory to cover all of their overhead. It's just it's the game. Like, sometimes when you support small businesses, you know you're paying more because been able to get bulk.
And like, thing is, what makes it even more difficult when doing that, it's like, all right, it's already difficult for me to find y'all. Then I found you. you're gonna charge me more. when it's a whole lot easier for me to just go over here and do this, and they got everything I need and some, and it's cheaper.
That's why it has to be intentional. It can't be about, oh, this is.
Yeah.
It has to be, I am intentionally, I understand that there are things that are not gonna make this easy for me to do or desirable when it comes to my own personal, like, money and budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I am intentionally deciding to take more money and invest it in you versus less money and giving it to people who don't even need it no more.
Right.
And they also don't care about me, to be honest.
And that is a struggle.
Whew.
That's a black struggle in itself right there.
So, y'all, we definitely want to hear you all's thoughts on this. Let us know if you like this topic. Me and Marcus are trying to jazz up the podcast some. We want it to grow a little bit more. We're loving how our Patreon is growing. Thank you guys who have joined. Absolutely
appreciate it. We like talking these things, but y'all know I like keeping it light and funny and free.
Yeah.
But it is good to have these conversations too. Mm-hmm. We don't usually go too deep with it because there's 1,000 other podcasts you listen to for that.
Yes. But I don't think this was too heavy.
No, it wasn't. It definitely was. It definitely was not heavy or too deep.
Yeah.
So, thank you for tuning in, though.
Appreciate thank you. It. Again, thank you to our three sponsors. Best Fiends.
Mm-hmm.
Apostrophe.
Say it one more time.
It's apostrophe.
And?
Every Place.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure you all check them out and use our promo code so they know that you came to them from us. Again, thank you to our immediate family, our Patreon. Banger, banger, banger. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/thatchickangel. Mm-hmm. Follow us. Make sure you are following Marcus on Marcus Ain't on the Gram, on Instagram, Marcus Ain't on the Book, on Facebook, and you can get his beard and body butter. No, we're going to keep it going. He's that like, oh, rough. Gosh, it's so much. Yup.
It's a good much, but god dang.
It's a lot. Beard and body gutter.
And body butter that is called Manshit. That's M-A-N-S-H-Y-T. You can go to manshit.com. I got some more stuff coming, but y'all got to catch up.
Yes.
It's a lot going on.
Follow me at That Chick Angel.
Yeah.
Check out my new show on the Kev on Stage Studios app, Ask on Angel. New episodes dropping every Monday.
Yeah, make sure y'all check out Bottom the Beautiful. We do mukbangs. We do show reviews. Right now we're doing Married at First Sight. More to come.
You'll get a new mukbang this week, I do believe on Tuesday, as well as you will be getting the podcast for that. So if you ever want to just listen to it, we'll be having ads for that as well. So go ahead and check it out. And I got on my phone so I can tell y'all how close I am to 100,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. So if you're not a subscriber, you can feel bad because if you were subscribed, I'd be at 100,000. I am at 97,388. So I am less than 3,000 from my goal, you guys. Can we? Can we? Is there one? Or is there 2,220 12? Excuse me. 2,212?
Do we have one?
Do we have you? Are you there? Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. All right, guys. I think that's it. Don't you?
Yeah.
We'll see you all next Wednesday. Y'all be blessed.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye.